Welcome, everybody. Tony Trupiano with you on our second of 3 hours on this Thursday First Shift program. Thank you for punching in with us today. If you are just joining us, well, welcome aboard and good morning to you. We had a great first hour, talked considerably about religion and politics and how they are intercrossing and some of the troubling aspects of that. Some very intelligent callers. In the last hour, we're going to have plenty of time for open lines a little later on in this hour, but we're about to get to a story that I found astounding. It just happens to be that the gentleman who is with us today is a good friend of mine, and I'll introduce him in just a moment. I do want to remind you, if you'd like to join us at any time throughout the program today, you're always more than welcome to do that. Our toll-free number is 888-552-3595. That's 888-552-3595. The email address, always, tony@thetonyshow.org. We also have some news and information to get to you today about the Sexy Liberal Tour. We have the after-party details all ready and raring to go, so we'll get to that in this hour as well. So there's a lot to get to. Let me turn, though, my attention now to my next guest. I belong to a lot of different lists, and one of them led me to a link to a headline that said, "Invisible Poverty, the new measurement unveils financial hardship in Michigan's older adult population." I was stunned by what I read, and I thought that this was something that I would want to share with all of you because I think this is information you need to know. Joining me now is Dr. Tom Jankowski. Tom is the Associate Director of Research at Wayne State University's Institute of Gerontology. And he joins us today. I said he's a friend when I ran for Congress. Tom was one of those people that was an advisor to me. I consider him to be a wonderful person. I know his mom and dad, great family. And Tom, it's a pleasure to have you on the show this morning.
Well, thank you for your kind words, Tony.
How's your wonderful family doing?
They are doing just fine, thanks.
Great. Kids must be getting big. I haven't seen them in a long time now.
Oh, yeah, I see them sort of fly by every now and then.
Fair enough. Tom, let's talk about what I believe is a disturbing report that was, of course, done by Wayne State University, Invisible Poverty. Tell the audience, let's just give them a little foundational information.
Well, Tony, what we did was, those of you who are following economic news have probably known for quite a while, like those of us in the research area have, that the federal poverty measure comes up short in a lot of different ways. And so there's been talk for the last 15 or 20 years of how can we improve this. In a nutshell, the way that poverty is figured by the federal government is they decide what is sort of the basic food needs of an individual, and then they find out how much that costs, triple it, and that's the poverty line. And this is based on some really old methodology and old consumer behavior surveys from the late 1950s. And we've known for a long time that the poverty index doesn't really capture the extent to which people are struggling. And so a number of different organizations, the federal government itself has come up with a new measure. The one that we used was one called the Elder Index, which was developed by Wider Opportunities for Women, and the Gerontology Institute at the University of Massachusetts, Boston, and it was intended to measure the actual needs of an older individual or older couple in terms of what they need to survive at a basic level. And it, rather than starting with this arbitrary number and applying it across the board to everybody, whether you live in rural Oklahoma or Manhattan, the Elder Index actually looks at the costs of housing, food, transportation, health care, and other expenses by geographical area. So there's a different elder index for every county in the U.S. There's also a different elder index depending on whether you own without a mortgage, own with a mortgage, or rent, and whether you're in good, fair, or poor health, because, of course, the cost of living varies by all those things. So we started out with these numbers that were developed in partnership with Elder Law of Michigan. They sort of ran the Elder Index Project here in Michigan. And they developed a list of, what it takes to live, whether you're a single or an older couple retired in Michigan, county by county. And we decided to take those numbers and actually apply them to the census population data to find out exactly where we are.
Well, you know, again, the numbers were astounding to me, disturbing, Tom, if you will. And we take a look at it, and this is the part, of course, that grabbed me, and I'm sure I'm not the only one. We're talking about in Oakland County in Bloomfield Hills, one of the wealthiest suburbs in the entire United States. They've got a serious problem there.
Yeah, that's one of the things that we found. Well, let me step back a minute and say that when you look at the official poverty index figures from the U.S. Census Bureau, you find that about just under 10% of seniors in Michigan live in poverty, according to the official statistics. When we took the Elder Index numbers, which again, talks about the basic cost of living in various areas and applied them on a county-by-county basis to that older population data, we found that 37% of seniors in Michigan struggle to make ends meet on a month-by-month basis.
Well, so
they come up short. They're either eating less than they would like to, or cutting pills in half, or cutting corners in some other way, or getting help from their families, informal help.
Well, you know, this is the part that I find both disturbing and interesting, Tom Jankowski, because when we take a look at the numbers, it tells me a lot of different things. But one of the things it says to me, because I, you know, we all know people in this age group, how many of them are quietly suffering? That's the part that kind of eats, you know, that's the liberal that I am, but that's the part that eats at me.
Well, it's true, and we found, you know, the lowest proportion of seniors living under the Elder Index in any county in Michigan, still over 25%. So 1 in 4 seniors in Michigan, even in the affluent, wealthy areas of the state, are struggling to get by. And this is not something that they necessarily broadcast to everybody.
No, they don't. You know, and as we take a look at this data, I'm kind of curious, when since this has come out, I can't imagine I'm the only one that's reacted to this. What has been the reaction from the general public or from the media to this study?
Oh, I think everybody's shocked at how high the numbers are, because they figure that, well, we haven't heard anything about this. And, you know, there's been a lot of talk lately about cutting Social Security and Medicare as if there's a great deal of slack in those programs. Plus, there's sort of this popular conception of older people with their golf carts and their vacations, but that certainly doesn't apply to most seniors.
You know, I would think, Tom, as we take a look at what's happening economically around the country, and certainly I think more specifically to Southeast Michigan, to the audience that we're talking to today, you know, there was a time in this country, and I think that the scenario gets smaller and smaller as each year passes, unfortunately, where, you know, mom and dad were always there for the kids. It doesn't matter how old the kids were, you know, if you needed maybe a little money for that down payment on the house, mom and dad were kind of there for you. As you got older, you know, mom and dad had their retirement, their pensions, and of course, we know that equation has changed. And all of a sudden, I think we're seeing, you know, more especially the people in this older demographic having to kind of turn that table a little bit. And Tom, my concern is as the child of the parent, if you will, you know, I don't know that I have the money to support mom and dad the way we, you know, kind of expected it to be the other way. You know, as these tables are turning, the money's just not there.
Well, it's not. And, you know, Tony, I've been doing some other research, a little historical research on what older people did before they had Social Security and Medicare. And I was interested to find out that according to the Michigan compiled laws of 1925, before Social Security and Medicare came into place, adult children were legally responsible for supporting their parents. And if you refused to support a destitute parent and you had the means to do so, you could be sent to 6 months in prison at hard labor. And it seems like some people want to return back to those days.
Well, I mean, that's why, you know, we had somebody call the show last week before we were talking about the debt ceiling debate, and someone said, well, you know, the Republicans are scaring my grandmother because she's afraid she's not going to get her Social Security check. And this is a real fear. This is not something we take lightly, Tom.
Absolutely not. And in fact, one of the points that I usually make when I'm talking to groups about retirement is that, you know, I think of retirement security as sort of a four-legged stool. One of the legs is Medicare, and that is something that until recently we haven't had to really even take into consideration because Medicare coverage for people age 65 or older is almost universal. It's in the mid to upper 90 percentile of how many people are covered by Medicare. But the other three legs are private savings and investment, a pension, employer-sponsored pension plan, and Social Security. And, you know, if you take away one of those legs, the stool gets a little unstable. And if you take away a couple of the legs, the stool can't stand. So what we found is that people who rely almost exclusively on Social Security for their retirement income are at much, much greater risk of falling under that elder index level and actually having to struggle to
all
pay their bills.
Tom, we've got to take a quick break. Stay where you're at. We'll come back. We'll continue this discussion. Tom Jankowski, again, my guest. Listen, this to me is elder abuse is what it is. We need to figure out how to turn this around a bit. If you want to join us, feel free to do that. 888-552-3595. I'm Tony Truppiano. This is First Shift. We'll be back on 1310 WDTW right after this. Welcome back, everybody. I am Tony Truppiano. My guest in this half hour, Tom Jankowski. He is the Associate Director of Research at Wayne State University's Institute of Gerontology. We're talking about a report that was recently released entitled Invisible Poverty. And I have to tell you, folks, as we take a look at our elder population, the way that fortunately they're now measuring this, you know, Tom, one of the things that comes to mind are those agencies that are traditionally there to help seniors fill in those gaps. I would imagine they're more stressed. Their budgets are more stressed. I know that's true. We had somebody on the show not too long ago that's talking about things like transportation become more and more problematic as these budgets are disappearing. What's happening with these agencies that are there to help seniors that are trying to fill that gap between the monies they have and the money they need?
What's happening is they're trying to do more with less, but I'll tell you, the area agencies on aging in Michigan recently had their budgets cut by about 10%, and they have waiting lists for nearly every service that they provide, Meals on Wheels and in-home care, all kinds of stuff. So it's definitely getting tighter for everybody out there.
Do older couples, senior couples that are married, are they finding it a little easier to get by?
It's always easier with a couple than it is with an individual. They can live more cheaply per person. They're there to support each other. And of course, you know, as the population gets older, then they have more of a chance of being widowed and living alone, and more of a chance of being women, actually, because the older people get, men have lower life expectancies. So when you look at that 85 plus age group, it's mostly women and mostly people who live alone.
Well, you know, again, one of my concerns is still how many of them are silently suffering. That is a real problem. By the way, there is a website if people want to go to take a closer look at this data and get other information. It's www.seniorscount.org, seniorscount.org, and we'll post this to the Facebook page as well for those of you that that want to go check this out. Yeah, you know, Tom, this is one of those stories where you can't really say, well, you know, this is more heinous than this, and oh my God, this is more dramatic than that, because really this is one of those umbrella issues. There's nothing good about this report that shows that more than one in three seniors, again, within the sound of our voice, there are people listening to this radio station right now that are, you know, we often hear, especially during the campaign cycles, you know, well, I had to choose between my medicine and food. Those are actually real choices. That's just not a convenient campaign slogan.
No, those are choices that people are faced with every single day. Absolutely.
Well, and again, I just can't fathom I just can't fathom having to go through that. You live this entire wonderful life. You get to this point in your life where you think that you're going to be okay. You're going to be able to get by, and you're not. You know, going back, you were talking about those four legs or the three legs, Tom. And we take a look at Medicare and you know, the private saving, that's the part that's concerning me, because again, I know people that are seniors that are in their 70s, their 80s, that all of a sudden their adult children found themselves through whatever means it was. They lost a job. They both lost a job. You know, something happened, and what little savings they've given it to their children and leaving themselves with nothing. You know, and we talk about responsibility. We were talking the last hour, Tom, about, you know, help, you know, your brother's keeper, being your brother's keeper. This is another one of those where we say, well, we you know, they should have planned better. Well, you can't plan for the kind of economy and the wars and all the other things that have happened, Tom. And I mean, when you're 30, 40, 50, 60 years old and you're getting ready for retirement, you're not saying to yourself, well, gee, I really need to plan for the bottom falling out of the economy, you know, 20 years from now. You can't do that. And so doesn't society have something to do? Don't they have some culpability in making sure that they fill this gap somehow?
Well, I think that's a valid point. You know, one of the big changes that's occurred over the last generation or so that has really impacted this issue is the move from defined benefit to defined contribution pensions. You know, when you have a defined benefit pension, you know, you have a guaranteed pension through the rest of your life for a certain amount. It's, you know, it's not going to put you in the Taj Mahal, but it's going to keep you off the streets. With a defined contribution pension, you're what you get back is only what you're able to put in, and the biggest risk that people take with defined contribution pensions is outliving their pension. With a defined benefit pension, you don't outlive your pension because it keeps paying out until you die. But with a defined contribution pension, your 401k, once that money's gone, it's gone. And one of the things that we found was that the older seniors get, the more likely they are to have outlived their savings and have to live on less. So poverty is greater among the 85-plus set than it is among those who are still in their late 60s.
In the report, Tom, you write, the older adult population in the state will increase over the coming decades, nearly doubling as a proportion of the whole population by 2030, which is not that far off. In the same time, newer generations of workers will retire without the same level of access to the defined benefit pensions, as you just said, of earlier generations, and federal budget issues threaten to exert downward pressure on social insurance benefits for elders such as Social Security and Medicare. Considering changes in the economy and the population and possible changes in the policy environment, the number of Michigan seniors experiencing invisible poverty is likely to go substantially over the next 20 years. I hear it. It's written. It's there. People are reading this. What's the plan? And I know you don't have the answer to that, but we really do need, this is a question that deserves an answer, that needs an answer.
It is. Well, you know, and my job is to bring the facts to the table and try to inform the people who are making the decisions. And so I try not to get too deeply into the policy because I don't want to bring my own biases. But one thing that I can say is that our research shows that you really can't cut Social Security anymore. This is the last safety net that is keeping people out of poverty in old age, and it's maintaining so many people right on the edge. And so to cut benefits even slightly is going to throw a lot of people over the edge. And so I think we need to hold the line on Social Security benefits, because they're really, I mean, if you look at the numbers, the average Social Security benefit for a retired worker in Michigan is about $14,000 a year. That is not high living.
No, that would not be high living, that's no. For sure.
So the great thing about Social Security is that you can't outlive your benefits.